Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, also known as Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. These days, we're going through the book of Joshua. The intent of this program for now is the study of the Bible, and we're going through the book, chapter by chapter, well, book by book, going through the Bible, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And last time we left off in Joshua at chapter 14, so we're going to pick right up there today and continue along in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 1. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel, distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, and the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses for the nine tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes and a half tribe on the other side of Jordan. But unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came and unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that Yahuwah said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again, as in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, and I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed Yahuwah my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Let's see, that would be 85 years old. As yet, I am strong this day, as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Wow, now how many people can say that at 85? I am as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me, 40 years prior. Well, I hope I can say that when I'm 85. Think about that. So you eat the modern American diet, and you start falling apart at about 40. But here you see that Caleb, eating the approved diet, the approved diet of God Almighty, and at 85, he says that he is as strong as he was at 40 or 45. And why not? You know, why couldn't it be? Why would not obedience to the Heavenly Father's word, his dietary laws, why wouldn't we be as healthy at 85 as we are at 45? Well, you know, I'm not 85 yet, but I am past 40. And I noticed at 40, something started happening to all my peers, as that's my age group, that they all started falling apart or getting big and round. And I don't know, just thought, well, I don't want that to happen to me. Of course, I thought I don't want that to happen to me long before it happened. Because if you wait until you're 40 to 50. And then you say, oh, look, something, you know, this ain't working out quite right. I think I better do something. Well, you've got a lifetime of habits now to change. That's one thing against you. Your health has already started to fail. And for those that are wondering, what am I talking about? Well, one of the main things, and I'd like everyone to do this if they have a time, if they're online, is go to Google Videos and type in worm in brain. And what you'll find there is a surgeon removing trichina from a woman's brain stem. That's right, a little undercooked pork. They like to blame it solely on washing of the hands. And, of course, their advice is to cook that pork thoroughly. Well, if that pork is raw, it gets anywhere on your tables, your anything. And I say you have to heat it pretty darn high to kill the worms in it. And that may not even work. But you'll see them removing this worm from a woman's brain stem. And because it was pressing up against her brain stem, she knew it was there. That's right. It was causing her trouble. I just wonder how many more thousands of people have this worm somewhere, these worms somewhere in their body or even in their brain, eating their brain out, and they don't have a clue. They're just getting dim. Things are not working quite right. Things are breaking down. And meanwhile, could it be mistaken for cancer? Could it? You know, could it be mistaken for a lot of things? Dementia. You know, if you got a worm eating your brain, but it's not pressing against your brainstem and causing motor function problems, they just might think you're getting a little loopy. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, it's something to think about. Our God knew when he gave the law to his people long, long ago. And you see that the distinction between clean and unclean didn't just come with Moses. You go all the way back to the beginning. And when Noah got on that ark, you know, the Heavenly Father said, take seven. He said two of every kind, but seven of the clean. And why was he going to take seven of the clean? Well, they needed food for one thing, because he also commanded them when they got, plus they had the sacrifice. And they did eat the sacrifice from the very beginning. You know, only a Gentile mind would think that they didn't. But you go ask one of these Hebrew scholars what he thinks about it, and he'll say, oh, absolutely. The sacrifice, it's right there. You know, when God Almighty clothed them with the animal skins, they ate that sacrifice, and you can see evidence of it as you move through Genesis. That's right. You'll see the evidence. See, Abel was a keeper of sheep. Now, why was Abel keeping sheep? It was for the sacrifice, and it was for wool. That's right. And he offered the sacrifice. Remember the story of Cain and Abel, who offered the right sacrifice? So see, the law was there from the beginning, because Cain's sacrifice of vegetables, because he was a farmer, he thought, well, in his pride, he thought, well, I can offer the fruit of my hands as my brother Abel, because Abel was a shepherd. He kept sheep. But the sacrifice for the remission of sins, the shedding of blood was required. So regardless of Cain's pride, vegetables would never be acceptable. But in his pride, he thought, and then he rose up and slew his brother, and you know how the story goes. But just to point out to you that the sacrifice was there from the beginning. The distinction between clean and unclean was there from the beginning. Before the flood, they were only allowed to eat the sacrifice. The meat was only for sacrifice. They could only eat the meat. But when Noah got off the ark, they had a change in their diet, and I believe it had to do with the environmental atmospheric conditions, how they changed from pre-flood, where they had long, long lives, long, long longevity, to where now they needed nutrients to help, you know, the nutrients that are only found in meat, that the enzymes and so forth, to help combat the aging process so that they could live at least a decent life. You know, perhaps they could, and their lifespan just continually dropped from that point on. But anyway, Noah was commanded to eat meat. And then there are all the people who want to keep eating bacon. They'll point to that command where Noah was commanded to eat meat, and they'll say, see, now I can eat every creature. Well, no, Noah didn't now start eating pork and unclean meats. That wasn't what it was about. All that exchange was about was that Yahuwah, the Creator, was saying to Noah, now the eating of meat is not just for the sacrifice. Now you can add it to your diet as a regular part of your diet. It's not just for the sacrifice anymore. That was what the Heavenly Father was telling to Noah. And like I said, go to the Hebrew people. Go to the Israelites. They had the Word of God. They understood that. It's only people who want to continue eating unclean meats because they don't want to give up their bacon and their ham and their spam and all that, you know, filthy garbage. And so they'll use the script, they'll twist the scripture that way, but that's not what it's all about at all. It was only about adding meat as a regular part of their diet, as apart from being just set apart for the sacrifice, because they did eat the sacrifice, but now they were allowed to eat meat as a regular part of their diet too. But anyway, so there's just that, you know, I hit on that because here's Caleb saying, I'm 85 and I'm as strong as I was at 45. And, you know, I'm hoping I can say that at 85, because I'll tell you what, at my age, I feel, you know, as strong or stronger than I was at 40. You know, maybe not stronger. Well, I don't know. I don't notice much difference. And I hope that'll continue. Anyway, I'm gonna do my part by keeping the word of my Heavenly Father. I'm gonna follow His dietary laws because I think that He gave us those laws for our own good. I really do believe that. You know, that's where my faith lies. You know, others have faith. I've heard people say, well, I have faith so I can eat anything I want. Well, I'll say, go ahead. I have faith in the Word of God, and He said some things I shouldn't eat, so I have faith that He gave me that Word because He knew what was best for me. So there's two different kinds of faith for you. Where's your faith? Well, I know where mine is. Mine is in Him and in His Word. So He said, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land and brought Him word again, as is my heart. And he says in chapter 14, verse 10, and now behold, Yahuwah, the Lord, hath kept me alive, as He said, these 45 years, even since He spoke His word, this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He's 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke, that in the day that thou heardest, that the day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great in fence, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron before, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed Yahuwah, the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Chapter 15 of Joshua in verse 1. Then this was the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah by their families, to the border of Edom, the wilderness of Zin, southward, was the uttermost part of the south coast. And their south border was from the shore of the salt sea, from the bay that looketh southward, and it went out to the north south side of Maale Akrabim, and passed along to Zin, and descended up on the south side unto Kadesh Barnea, and passed along to Hezron, and went up to Adar, and fetched a compass to Karka. From thence it passed toward Asmon and went out unto the river of Egypt. And the goings out of the coast, of that coast, were at the sea. This shall be your south coast. And the east border was the salt sea, even unto the end of Jordan. And the border in the north quarter was from the bay of the sea to the uttermost part of the Jordan. You know, and I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about all these surveys, and that's what we're basically getting here, is a land survey. They've sent out surveyors, you know, and this has taken them months to do, to set up these markers at these places that he's describing. So I know they have stones or markers of some sort on the corners of the property, such as, you know, not saying they were square or any of them, but they're going from this point over to that point, from this point to that point, from that point to that other point, over to the sea at that point where the bay is, and there's a marker over there. So they had all these lands. They spent months, you know, out marking, putting markers on the land and dividing up the land by survey. And basically that's what we have here, is we have a land survey describing the boundaries of the land for each tribe. So we continue on. And the east border was the salt sea, even unto the land of Jordan. The border in the north quarter was from the bay of the sea at the uttermost part of the Jordan. Chapter 15, verse 6. And the border went up to Beth Hogla and passed along by the north of Beth Araba. And the border went up to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben. And the border went up towards Debir from the valley of Achor, and so northward looking towards Gilgal, that is before the going up to Adunim, which is on the south side of the river, and the border pass toward the waters of Enshemesh, and the goings out thereof were at Enrogel. And the border went up by the valley of the son of Hinnom unto the south side of the Jebusite, the same is Jerusalem, and the border went up to the top of the mountain that lieth before the valley of Hinnom westward, which is at the end of the valley of the giants northward. And the border was drawn from the top of the hill unto the fountain of the water of Nephtoah, and went out to the cities of Mount Ephron, and the border was drawn to Baalah, which is Kirjath-Jearim. And the border compassed from Baalah westward unto Mount Seir, and passed along unto the side of Mount Jearim, which is at Chesalon. And the north side went down to Beth Shemesh, and passed on to Timnah, and the border went out unto the side of Ekron northward, and the border was drawn to Shikron, and passed along to Mount Baalah, and went to Jabneel, and the goings out of the border were at the sea. And it was a lot more fun for them, going out and dividing up the land between the tribes. And of course, once they divided up the lands between the tribes, then you would have the head of each clan who would divide up the lands according to his clan. So just this dividing up the land is only the beginning. And fortunately, we're going to be spared all the details of how each tribe divided up their land, because this is a lot more fun for them, and it'd be a lot more fun if we were looking at maps and we actually had an interest in the land. Yeah, you have a lot more interest in something if you really have an interest in it. And of course, these men, the Israelites, and according to their tribes, had a genuine interest in the land. This was the long promised land. This was the land that they talked about for 40 years wandering in the wilderness. This was a land that was given to Abraham and to their fathers and their fathers' fathers before them. Hundreds of years of longing. And finally, they're in the land. You could imagine the excitement and the thrill of it. So we'll just continue with the survey reading here. At least this way we'll become familiar with some of the names of the places and perhaps that may come in handy. But there are so many, and many are unfamiliar sounding, that it probably won't do me much good to try to remember them. But so we continue here in 15, verse 11. It was verse 12. There we go. And the west border was to the great sea and the coast thereof. This is the coast of the children of Judah round about according to their families. And to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave part among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence, and the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Aiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath-sepher. And Caleb said, He that smiteth Kirjath-sepher and taketh it, to him will I give Aksah, my daughter, to wife. And here we have another clue about family government. And so I'm just going to take a minute to point this out. Family government. Our Heavenly Father, He has set up powers in the earth. And we have in Romans, we have a scripture that says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Of course, with the modern corporate church being, someone else called it the church effeminate. And perhaps we're going into a break right about now. So we're going to pick up on this thought when we get back. And I'm going to develop it a little bit more on family government, because we have the occasion here. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.